Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today we're digging into American Express's second quarter 2026 results, and Jordan, this one's got some real strategic meat on the bone.
It really does. Before we get into it, though, this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Right, so let's get into the numbers. Amex posted 10% revenue growth this quarter and EPS of $4.53, up 11% year-over-year. Pre-tax income was up 15%. And here's the interesting part. They're actually raising full-year revenue guidance to 10% growth, but keeping EPS guidance steady at $17.30 to $17.90.
That's the part that jumps out at me. Normally, when a company beats expectations, you'd think they'd flow that straight to EPS. But CEO Steve Squeri was pretty direct about it. He said, essentially, we have a choice. Drop the overperformance to the bottom line or reinvest it. And they're choosing to reinvest.
Which tells you something about how confident they are in their growth pipeline. Where's the money going?
Mainly three places: customer acquisition, technology investment, and this proposed acquisition of TheFork, a European restaurant booking platform that would add 50,000 restaurants across 11 countries to their dining network. That one wasn't even in the original 2026 plan.
Right, and TheFork fits into this bigger dining ecosystem play. They already own Rasay and Tock. Squeri made an interesting point on the call. They don't evaluate these platforms on a standalone P&L basis. It's not about Rasay or Tock making money directly. It's about what he called closed loops within our closed loop. Card members get better restaurant access, and it becomes a cheaper acquisition channel since non-card members use these platforms too.
And the data backs it up. Spend at Rasay restaurants is double that of average, and card members have higher ticket prices across the board. That's the flywheel Squeri kept coming back to.
Let's talk about the real engine here, though. The Platinum Card Refresh. This has been running for about a year now, and it's paying off in a big way.
Big time. U.S. consumer spending was up 11.4%, the highest growth rate since first quarter 2018, excluding pandemic distortions. And CFO Christophe Lukielek pointed out that Platinum is now the fastest growing portfolio in their U.S. consumer business. It's coming from three places: new account acquisition, existing cardholders spending more, and people upgrading from other cards into Platinum.
There's a really telling stat in there, too. 65% of new U.S. consumer accounts are coming from millennials and Gen Z. And internationally, it's similar, around 70%. This isn't a legacy customer story anymore.
No, and that matters for durability. Squeri made this point when asked about long-term valuation. He's been at Amex 41 years, so he's seen a few cycles. And his answer was basically, the company used to think of its premium customer as one specific demographic cohort. Now, they build a flywheel that can adapt to whichever generation is coming up next. That's a meaningfully different growth algorithm than the one they had a decade ago.
Now, on the credit side, this is where it gets almost boringly good in a good way. Delinquency rates have held between 1.2% and 1.3% for over 3 years. Both delinquency and write-off rates remain below 2019 levels.
And the stress test results reinforce that. In the Fed CCR severely adverse scenario, Amex posted the lowest projected credit card loss rate of any bank tested, with a positive pre-tax ROE over 9 quarters. That's the payoff of chasing a more premium, more creditworthy customer base for years now.
There were a couple of housekeeping items worth flagging, too. They're selling two small business co-brand card portfolios. One, the Lowe's portfolio, already transferred in April, and the Amazon portfolio is expected in third quarter. That's going to create some noise in the numbers.
Right. Expect roughly a 1 percentage point drag on billings growth and about 2.5 points on net interest income once both are fully out of the system by fourth quarter. But management was clear, negligible impact to actual earnings, and it was already baked into guidance. So don't read too much into the headline deceleration when it shows up.
One more thing worth mentioning. Net card fees grew 15.4% this quarter, marking 32 consecutive quarters of double-digit fee growth. And management expects that to accelerate into the high teens by year-end as more of last year's platinum fee increases fully layer into the numbers.
There was a great explanation of the mechanics behind that in the Q&A too, because they only started repricing card members in January, and it amortizes over 12 months. The full benefit takes almost 2 years to completely show up in the P&L. So the acceleration is still ahead of them, not behind them.
So stepping back, what's the takeaway for investors here?
I'd frame it as, Amex is compounding from a position of strength, not chasing growth to mask weakness. Revenue momentum is broad-based. Retail spend up 13%, international up 12%, travel bookings up 22%. Credit quality keeps improving rather than deteriorating even as they grow. And management's explicitly choosing to reinvest outperformance rather than just buy back more stock, betting that funding acquisition and tech now sustains double-digit growth further into 2027 and beyond.
The risk, if there is one, is execution. Integrating the fork, managing the VC expense ratio, which ticked up to 44.6% this quarter due to stronger-than-expected spending, and proving the AI investments in servicing and tech actually translate into the operating leverage they're promising.
Before we wrap, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Great breakdown, Jordan. Bottom line, Amex is playing the long game, and so far the bet on premium customers and reinvestment is paying off.
We'll be watching for that before close and how card fee growth actually plays out in third quarter and fourth quarter. Thanks for listening to Beta Finch. We'll catch you next time.